All right, the spiritual significance of the number eight. If the number seven signifies a completed work, then the no completed week, then the number eight signifies a new week. Actually, a new work with a new man, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it, and intended that way from before the world began. Jeremiah 18, verse 4 just tells it like it is for those who have eyes to see it. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Adam and Eve were marred. So he's, and this is so important to understand, it's in the call stem. Call stem is like the aorist tense in the Greek. It's an ongoing. It includes an ongoing, depending on the circumstances, but it includes an ongoing work. He made it again. He's making it again, another vessel that seems good to the potter to make it. Another vessel is a new vessel of clay, the new man in the true image of him that created him, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, I thought he was created in the image of God in the Garden of Eden. No, that's where it began. The image of him began at that time, and God is still in the process of creating mankind in his image. Revelation 17:11. The beast that was and is not, he's the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. Now, that verse right there is going to be central to the number nine, because it is the eighth man that goes into perdition, because that new vessel is still a vessel of clay. We have this treasure sealed with the Spirit in earthen vessels, but that earthen vessel has to go into perdition. It has to fall into the ground and die. And we're going to see that in Sunday study. It's the eighth beast which goes into perdition. It's only through this his perdition, his destruction, his death, and the death of the eighth beast that he becomes the image of him that created him. We're being made in his image, but we're not in his image because we're not yet finished. The first man, Adam, was never in the image of God, as the King James Version reads in Genesis 1:20. So God created, look at that ED there, man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and it was all done, and they were perfect and complete. No, that's not what it even says. As we'll see in this study, that vessel, that verse reveals that God is in the process, when it's properly translated, it reveals that, in the process of creating mankind after his image, after the image of him that created him, as it says in Colossians 3:10, he's doing. God is in the process of creating the new man. And it's only that new man who is in the image of him that created him. The name Seth is defined as instead of. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Abel signifies our slain Savior, whose blood cries out from the ground. Genesis 4, 6, and 7. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto," that word unto is ale, the Hebrew word ale, H4:13. And it should be translated right here, against. Against you shall be his. Now look at that. The word his, the pronoun his there is referring back to sin. Sin lies at the door, and unto you, Against you shall be his desire. Doesn't make sin a person or a personality. He just personifies it for the sake of making the point. Unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. Universal salvation promised right there in Genesis 4. Cain is going to rule over sin. This Hebrew word H413, translated as unto here in Genesis 4:7, it's the same word unto and to in this verse of the previous chapter, where the Lord is pronouncing judgment against the serpent and Adam and Eve. This verse is his judgment against Eve. Genesis 3:16, unto, the word is H413. He's speaking against the woman for what she did. Against you, the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you will bring forth children, and your desire shall be against your husband. That's the curse of all you women. And it's the curse of all of us men as women, because we are the bride of Christ. So let's not get high-minded about our position as the head of our wife. Our wives are against us just like we're against Christ. And in the end, I bracketed that in because that's what it's saying. He, our head, will rule over us. Eve's curse was not that she would want to please her husband. That's not a curse. That'd be a blessing. Her curse was to oppose and be against her husband. That is indeed a curse. Sin's desire was not to please God through Cain. That would be a blessing. Cain's curse was to be led by the law of sin and his members, warring against the law of his mind. Like it says in Romans 7:23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. How did it get there? Well, there's only one lawgiver, and that's God. The next verse, following Genesis 4:7, where he talks to Cain about why are you wroth, gives us the proper translation of this Hebrew word el. In the context of the three verses we're considering, Genesis 3:16 about the woman and her curse, and Genesis 4:7, Cain and his curse, and this verse, the very next verse, Canaan talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against H413 Abel his brother and slew him. Why didn't they translate it against in the previous verse, verse 7? Your desire, his desire will be against you. Sin's desire is against us. The reason Cain slew Abel was the same reason the Jews slew Christ. And that was the very same reason Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him before Reuben and Judah talked him into putting Joseph in a pit, signifying his death, before selling him into Egypt. Here's that reason in all three cases: Cain, Joseph, and Christ. Here's the reason. Genesis 37, starting in verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now that's exactly what you and I experience when we bring the truth to our family. Joseph was just bringing them the truth, bringing his father the truth. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Oh Lord, he's going to go from bad to worse here. Brings his father their evil report, and they hate him. Now he dreams a dream, and he told it to his brothers, like you and me. You know, we think we're sealed with the Spirit, and that we're going to be in the first resurrection. And we don't think that Babylon is sealed with the same Spirit. And boy, do they hate us, just knowing that we believe that. If they find it out, boy, they're going to hate us. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf, bowed down to it." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us, your older brothers?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words, his doctrines. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brothers and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I?" Jacob knew what the dream meant. He was the sun and his wife was the moon. "Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth?" And his brothers envied him. And the world envies us. But his father observed the saying. And when I say the world envies us, the ones who know how united we are in spirit, how sincere we are, and how convinced we are, how much faith the Lord has given us, and the peace that we have, they envy that. Joseph was the son of Jacob's oldest, the son of Israel's old age, just as we're all called the sons of God here in the end of the ages. We're the sons of God's old age, so to speak, because we're at the end of the ages. Not that God is aging, but that's the point that's being made. 1 Corinthians 10:11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples." That word right there is tupos, types. "And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." 1 John 4:3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not." Beloved, now, right this moment, in down payment form, are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when we take possession of that promise, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. His brothers hated his words. His brothers envied him. Why did they hate him? They hated him because his father loved him more than his other brothers. They hated him because the Lord had shown him that he would rule over his 10 brothers. And they also hated him because he brought his father their evil report. Genesis 37, verse 2. "These are the generations of Jacob, being 17 years old, was feeding his flock with his brothers, and his lad was with the sons of Bilhah, Dan and Naphtali, as who Zilpah's sons, the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah. Bilhah's sons were Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah were Gad and Asher. His father's wives and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." All of this is mirrored in how Israel received their Savior. They hated him because his father loved him more than he loved the Jews who hated Christ. John 10, verse 17 tells us that. "Therefore does my father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again? No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down." and I have power to take it up again. I hope and pray that I have that same power. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's how he had the power. It was of his Father. Their physical brother and fellow Israelite brought to his Father, that's Christ, brought to his Father their evil report. Matthew 7, 21 through, I mean, 12 and 13. Matthew 21, 12 and 13. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it's written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. That's bringing your father their evil report. The chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees envied Christ because of the multitudes which were flocking after him and being healed by Christ and his Father. Matthew 27, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew, he said that, because he knew that for envy they had delivered him. But Pilate answered them, saying, will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew the priest delivered him for envy. That's Mark's account. 15, 9 and 10. John 11, starting in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, this is talking about the resurrection of Lazarus. I thank thee that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me. I know that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, just to make the point, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Many, a lot. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? This man does many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Christ's own nation, his brothers, were definitely jealous of him, just as Joseph's brothers had said, will this man rule over us? Genesis 37, verse 8. His brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for the dreams and for his words. This is the spirit of their father, the devil, which Christ referred to in his parable of the 10 servants and the 10 pounds. Luke 19, verses 12 through 14. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who do you think that is? Well, it's Christ, of course. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And that's exactly what the whole church world is saying to Christ when they just don't do the things that he said to do. Love your neighbor? They say, no, let's kill our enemies. Jews hated Christ because Christ considered them to be of another father and not of his father. That's why they hated him. John 8, verses 43 through 44. Why do you not understand my speech? Here's why. Because you cannot hear my word. Oh, you hear it, but like you said in Matthew, hearing they shall hear and not understand. Seeing they shall see and not perceive. You're of your father, the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. The beginning being when Cain murdered Abel and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Eight signifies Christ as both the first and the last Adam. Genesis 5:4. The days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of the first man, Adam, which was the son of God. The first Adam was the son of God just like Jesus was, because it was the creation of Christ. Adam was Christ's offspring. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46 and 47. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual. Adam wasn't spiritual. He was clay. But that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, clay, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Revelation 1:17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Physical circumcision signified the beginning of putting off the sins of the flesh. The beginning. Genesis 17, verse 12. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed. Genesis 21, verse 4. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. 8, in its negative application, signifies the end of our time in service to our flesh. The eighth is of the seven and goes into perdition, as we'll get to here. Judges 3, 8, 9. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rish-Hath-Thaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rish-Hath-Thaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, after 8 years of slavery, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the beast, in Revelation 17:11, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. David is a type of Christ, and he was the eighth son of Jesse. 1 Samuel 17:2. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. So David was his father's son of his father's old age, just like Joseph was. 1 Samuel 17, verse 14. And David was the youngest, the eighth. King David's chief captain slew 800 men at one time. These are all types of us. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief of the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 men whom he slew at one time. Wow. 8 signifies a giving spirit. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 and 2. Cast your bread upon the water, and you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. It is through the number 8 that we approach the temple. Ezekiel 40, verse 31. The arches thereof, of the south side of the temple, were toward the utter court, and the palm trees were upon the posts thereof. And the going up to it had 8 steps. Ezekiel 40, verse 34, the arches thereof, on the east side of the temple, were toward the outer court, and the palm trees were upon the posts thereof, on this side, and on that side. And the going up to it had eight steps. The posts, Ezekiel 40, verse 37, the posts thereof on the north side, the north gate, toward the outer court, and the palm trees were upon the posts thereof on this side and on that side, and the going up to it had eight steps. Here's the spiritual antitype of these eight steps up to the temple. Revelation 17, verse 11. The beast that was and is not, he is even the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. We have within us seven beasts and an eighth, and the eighth is of the seven. It's still in bodies of clay. There are eight tables for offering sacrifices, four on each side of the temple. There were four on the north side, and there were four on the south side. Ezekiel 40, verse 39. And in the porch of the gate were two tables on this side and two tables on that side, in the porch of the gate, to lay thereon the burnt offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. And at the side without, as one goes up to the entry of the north gate, were two tables, one on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, and on the other side at the porch, and on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, were two tables. Four tables were on this side, and four tables were on that side, by the side of the gate. Eight tables, whereupon they slew their sacrifices. The first of our herds and of our goat of flocks were to be given to the Lord on the eighth day. You shall not delay to offer your, this is Exodus 22, 29, and 30. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe fruits and of your liquors, and firstborn of your sons shall you give to me. Likewise shall you do with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with its dam. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me, the burnt offering and the sin offerings, for the days of the consecration of the priests for their sins of the people were to be offered on the eighth day after the 7 days of consecration of the priests. Leviticus 8, verse 33 through 36. You shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, speaking to the priests, until the days of your consecration be in hand, be an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. As he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall you abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that you die not. For so I commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Leviticus 9, verse 1 and 2. It came to pass on, this is the very next verse in the Bible. It just happens to be a chapter break there. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to them, said to Aaron, take ye a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord on the eighth day of their consecration. In verse 7, Moses said unto Aaron, go to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make an atonement for yourself and for the people. And offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord has commanded on the eighth day. Circumcision, signifying the putting off of the flesh, took place on the eighth day. We know that. Leviticus 12, verse 3, the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Circumcision of the heart in the spirit takes place only in our spiritual eighth day. Doesn't happen when we're a carnal babe in Christ. The day we begin to be transformed into the new man, and that's when we begin. It's not when it's all over. We still have to go into perdition. Revelation 2, 28 and 29. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Ephesians 4:24, put ye on the new man on the spiritual eighth day, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Philippians 3:3, we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Colossians 2:11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image, not of the first Adam, but after the image of him that created him. In other words, the risen Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The eighth man in Micah is Christ, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. Micah 5. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Ephrathah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails has brought forth. Give them up is giving up those who aren't serving Christ. Those who are being laid siege against. In other words, Babylon and her daughters. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails hath brought forth. In other words, until the first resurrection. Then the remnant of his brothers shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Yeah. The rock hewn without hands hits the image on his feet and then becomes a mountain that fills the whole earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him, the Assyrian, seven shepherds and eight principal men. That's talking about you and me. While the Assyrian, and that's just another way of saying Babylonian.
Bronze dates to early Iron Age Mesopotamian culture is sometimes summarized as the Proto-Babylonian because of the close ethnic, linguistic, and cultural interdependence of the two political centers. This is from Wikipedia.
You said Assyrian.
I should never have said Assyrian. Don't say it. And they shall waste the land of Babylon with the sword of the word of God, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver from the Babylonians the land of Nimrod when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. The eighth principal man of this chapter of Micah are Christ and his Christ. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So it's not just Christ, it's his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Christ comes to us only when the Babylonians tread in our palaces. Therefore, the new man, or the eight principal men, come to deliver us only after we have begun to be judged and are beginning to be purified and consecrated. Now let's go to the New Testament here. John the Baptist and Christ were both circumcised on the eighth day, signifying the fact that he does not come to deliver us until our 7 days of being judged and consecrated in these vessels of clay. Luke 1:59. It came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. This is talking about John the Baptist. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, not so," said, "not so, but his name shall be called John," because that's what the angel had said. Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Both John and Christ were named before they were born, and they were both born in supernatural circumstances. Christ had no father at all. John had a physical father, but he was in his old age. Christ appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, after 8 days. John 8, verse 26. And after 8 days, John 20, verse 26. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Deliverance came to Aeneas, and he began a new life after 8 years of being bedridden. Acts 9:33. And there he, talking about Peter, on his way down to Joppa, there he found a certain man named Aeneas, Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. There were eight people on the ark, and Noah is called the eighth person, 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. 2 Peter 2:5. And he spared not the world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Paul was circumcised on the eighth day as a Hebrew of Hebrews. Philippians 3, verse 5, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Judah, and Hebrew of Hebrews. What did I say? Judah? Tribe of Benjamin. And Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. It is expedient that we understand the eighth man cannot appear until his 7 days of the judging and purifying and consecrating of our old man. That is the meaning of this verse in Revelation 17:11. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. Like I said, that's going to be a part of our study Sunday. Now that we know that the number eight signifies the new man and new beginnings, let's take note of the word new. Note where the word new appears in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven that you may be a new man. The eighth of the seven, a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the new testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Circumcised in spirit on the eighth day. Ephesians 2, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Try it again. Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, the consecrated man of Leviticus 8:33, and then offer the sin offering which God has created in the newness and righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10. Have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It was Christ who created them, male and female, but they were not yet in the image of him that created him while they were yet in vessels of clay. And no Holy Spirit. That's what made the difference. Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. It was through his flesh. It was an essential, integral part, that sinful flesh that Christ had, just like us. And to Jesus, Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. True light. The other was light, but it was a lesser light, and it ruled the night. Revelation 2:17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving him that receives it. Revelation 3:12. He that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So the conclusion is that eight is the number of the new man, the overcomer who is crucified with Christ and offers himself for a living sacrifice and fills up in his body that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. And in doing that, he goes into perdition. And that's what we're doing, dying daily. Thank you all for being here.